Would you turn to John chapter 13? It's always a pleasure to be with you. John chapter 13. I'd like to begin reading in verse 36. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. I've entitled this message, A Needful Fall. Now, how can a fall ever be needful? Well, you can be assured that if you fall, if I fall, it's our fault. And if I'm a believer, it's for my good and for God's glory. And we'll see that from this passage of Scripture, a needful fall. Now, this is Simon Peter speaking. Two names, Simon Peter. And I think these names represent Simon, the old man, Peter, the new man. Simon Peter. And he makes this statement in verse 37. He said, I will lay down my life for thy sake. Now, this is Simon, the old man, speaking. This is Peter, the new man, speaking. Both men are speaking. Now, how can two men be speaking? Well, if I'm a believer, I have two natures funneled into one person, no doubt. But every time I speak, it's old Todd speaking. It's also the new man, Simon Peter. Simon is his old name. Peter is the name that the Lord gave him. Turn back to Matthew chapter 16. You're familiar with this. Verse 13, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. They put you in some pretty high cotton. They say good things about you. He saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter. This is when God gave him that name. Thou art Peter. And upon this rock, this confession of me, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. I will build my church, and the gates of hell are not going to prevail against it. This message is going to break down the very gates of hell and snatch out all of God's people. Peter. Simon Peter. Now, I don't believe I would be stretching things at all if I said it was both of these men speaking. When Peter says, I'll lay down my life for thy sake. He meant it from the very depths of his being. He was willing, by the grace of God, to die for the Lord Jesus Christ. This was Peter, the new man, speaking, and he meant it so sincerely. But I also see where this was the old man speaking. Simon, I will. Now, anytime anything we say begins with that, it's going to go bad. You can just count on it. I will lay down my life for thy sake. That's a sure sign that there's problems ahead. Anything done in the strength of this flesh will go wrong. Now, look back to our text in John chapter 13, verse 36. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him. This is John 13, verse 36. Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Now, you can't follow me now because where the Lord's going, he went by himself with no creature aid. He by himself purged us of our sins. He had no help in this great work on the cross. He by himself purged our sins. But the Lord says to Peter, but you shall follow me afterwards. And do you know that Peter did in fact end up dying for the Lord Jesus Christ? He did lay down his life for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn with me to John 21. Verse 18. The Lord says to Peter, after his resurrection, verily, verily, I say unto you, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest, but when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. Tradition has it that Peter was crucified upside down at his request because he did not believe himself to be worthy of being crucified in the same manner as the Lord. That may be true, I don't know, but he died as a faithful martyr of the Lord Jesus Christ. He loved his master. Now turn back to John chapter 13. Verse 37, Peter said unto him, after the Lord said, you can't go where I'm going, but you'll follow me afterwards. Indeed, he would, but Peter didn't understand that at this time. But Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Now, when Peter said this, he meant it. He had no idea as to how weak and fickle he would prove. He really believed that he would lay down his life for the Lord Jesus Christ, and we know he would end up doing it. You see, he loved Christ. He said in Luke 22:33, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee both to prison and to death. And he was. And he did. You see, these were not empty words. Here's what the grace of Christ does to a man or a woman. Does this to every believer. Every believer is willing, by the grace of God, to lay down their life for Christ. Every believer, without any exception to this rule, is a faithful martyr of the Lord Jesus Christ and will, by the grace of God, be faithful unto death. Turn with me to Acts chapter 20. I want you to hear the words of the Apostle Paul. He says in verse 22 of Acts chapter 20, and now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions are waiting on me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I've received of the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Now, you would, by the grace of God, you realize that you'll be a coward apart from His grace. You realize that. But by the grace of God, every believer is willing to lay down their life for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. I love what one martyr said as he was tied to a stake to be burned to death. He said, "To die for Christ, 'tis an honor I do not deserve." Is Christ not worthy of laying down your life for His sake? Is He not worthy? I love Him. I love His person. I love His attributes. I love His holiness. I love His grace. I love His sovereignty. I love His justice. I love His power. Everything about the Lord Jesus Christ I love, and I wouldn't change a thing about Him if it were in my power to do so. He's altogether glorious. God's people really are in love with the Lord Jesus Christ, and by His grace, they are willing to die for Him. Now, you know you can only do it by grace, and you realize that if He took His hand off of you, you'd be just like Peter. You'd deny that you even knew Him. But you do find in your heart a willingness to deny yourself, to take up your cross, the confession of the gospel that the world hates, and to follow Him. Now, that's Peter speaking. Lord, I'll lay down my life for Thy sake. And he meant it from the very depths of his heart. But this was also old Simon speaking. The weakness and the sinfulness of the flesh is apparent here. Would you turn to Matthew chapter 26 and let's look at Matthew's account of this. Verse 31. Matthew 26, verse 31, "Then saith Jesus unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it's written." And if it's written, thus it must be. "For it's written, I will smite the shepherd, and the shepherd of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I'm risen again, I'll go before you into Galilee." Peter answered and said unto him, "Though all men shall be offended because of thee." I can see John be offended. I can see Nathaniel chickening out. I can see these guys back and back. But though all the rest of this bunch be offended, I'll never be offended. The wise man said in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18, "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before the fall." What a high opinion Simon demonstrates of himself. "I will lay down my life for thy sake. I will." Now, those two words tell you right there, he's out on a limb of scriptural never support. "I will." I will. You know, that's the essence of sin. "I will." That's the essence of presumption. "I will." That's the essence of haughtiness. "I will. If the Lord enables me, I'll do this. If the Lord gives me grace, I'll do this." But Peter says in haughty presumption, "I will lay down my life for thy sake." Now, Peter's attitude was right. He would have known that without God's grace, he would have been the very first one to deny Him. And you know that about yourself, too. You know that if the Lord took His hand off you, you'd be the very first one to deny that you even knew the Lord. You know what? Paul said, 1 Timothy 1:15, Brother Larry was reading that in the back. This is a faithful saying. You can count on this. It's worthy of all acceptation. Everybody ought to receive this as the best news they've ever heard. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief. Now, was he speaking in mock humility, or did he really believe that about himself? He believed himself to be the very chief of sinners. What joy he found in being a sinner, because that means Christ came to save me. But Peter here is a poster child for this scripture: pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before the fall. Peter did need this fall. He did need this fall. You know, one of the glorious things about the Lord is He brings good out of evil. He's the only one who can do it. You and I can't do it, but He actually brings good out of evil. What Peter did was evil. You know that as well as I do. But the Lord brings good out of it. Now let's look at Luke's account of this. Turn with me to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. Verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon. I think it's neat the way sometimes the Lord calls him Peter, sometimes He calls him Simon. But here He gives a double Simon. Simon, Simon. Satan hath desired, and that is literally, he's asked permission to have you. He's asked permission to have you. And you know what? The Lord granted him his request. Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat, turn you upside down and inside out, and show the world what a sinful, weak, powerless hypocrite you really are with all your big speech. Satan hath desired to have you. You know, he's the accuser of the brethren. Oh, Peter talks big, but I can show you what he really is. That's Satan's way all the time. And he has desired, he's asked permission to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. And indeed he did. In a short time, Satan would have Peter cursing and swearing and denying. He even knew who the Lord was. He said, I know not the man. With the Lord looking at him, he said, I know not the man. Now, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat, but, I love the buts of the scripture, but I have prayed for you. Now there's salvation. I have prayed for you. And look what he prayed for. I have prayed for you, not that you won't fall. If he would have prayed for Peter not to fall, you know what? Peter wouldn't have fallen, would he? He said, I've prayed for you that your faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Now, by God's grace, Peter was brought to his lowest point. He was brought to see that he was nothing but a coward, nothing but sin, nothing but weakness, nothing but unbelief. And I guarantee you, at that point, when he went out and wept bitterly, I think of the bitterness of his weeping. What about when the Lord looked at him? You can read that in that account of Luke. After he made this, I know not the man, he was cursing and swearing. The scripture says the Lord looked at him. I can't imagine what that look must have looked like. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. And when the Lord was crucified, Peter wasn't around. And I guarantee you, Peter thought he was a reprobate. I guarantee you, Peter thought he was an unbeliever. I guarantee you, Peter thought he had been cut off. Now, Let me give you an illustration from a personal experience of mine. I remember it's been about 19 or 20 years ago. I was taking chemotherapy, and I had all these different drugs I was taking, and I was having a hard time with them, so I started trying to play doctor. And I started mixing up some of my drugs. I quit taking this one and started taking that one. And I went into a bout of depression that I'd never experienced before. All I could see was blackness and darkness. And I even questioned whether there was a God. And I sure questioned that if there was a God, whether I knew Him. And I had to get up and preach like that. I mean, I was getting up and preaching with that darkness over me. All I could see was bleakness and despair. I didn't have any hope. I mean, it was so terrible. But let me tell you this. During that time, I was persuaded of this one fact. Because I had absolutely zero things to trust in myself. I was persuaded of this fact, that if I was saved, the only hope that I had was that Christ died for me and accomplished my salvation. Because I couldn't even come up with the faith. I couldn't come up with anything. And the only hope that I had was that Christ did it all. And you know what? I think maybe that's the purest my faith has ever been. I believe so. Peter was left with nothing. He was left with absolutely nothing. And the only hope he had was that Christ would do something for him. Let's go on with the story. Look in verse 54 of Luke chapter 22. Then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house. And Peter followed afar off. He hadn't denied him yet, but he followed him afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, "This man was also with him." And he denied, saying, "Woman, I know him not." And after a little while, another saw him and said, "Thou art also of them." And Peter said, "Man, I am not." And about the space of 1 hour, after another confidently affirmed, saying, "Of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he's a Galilean." And Peter said, "Man, I know not what thou sayest." And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him before the cock crow, "Thou shalt deny me 3 times. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. I think of what he must have been thinking at this time. These words, I'm sure, rang in his ears. He heard the Lord say, "Whosoever denieth me before men, him will I deny before my Father which is in heaven." If we deny him, he'll also deny us. And Peter was afraid for himself, and he felt like a traitor to Christ. I wonder how he must have felt while the Lord was hanging on the cross, knowing he was a traitor. That's all he could see himself to be. I feel sure that Peter thought there was no hope for him, and that he'd send away any hope of salvation. What a stupid thought. You see, if you could send away salvation, it wouldn't be by grace. And that means it would be your good that would keep it. How foolish. But I feel certain, as Peter wept bitterly, he felt like it was all over for him. It was just a matter of time before he'd be in hell. I know Peter felt that way. How did Peter feel as his master was crucified? How did he feel when they placed his dead body in the tomb? He heard about it. He was too cowardly to be there. But what must have been going through his mind? 3 days later, the Lord walks out of the tomb. Now turn to the book of Mark, chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. Verse 1, and when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came into the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, who shall roll away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, and it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment. And they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He's not here. Behold the place where they laid him, but you go your way, tell his disciples and Peter. I guarantee you Peter didn't think he was a disciple anymore. I guarantee you he thought he was cut off. He said, you go tell my disciples, and here's the one I especially want to hear this message. You go tell Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There you shall see him. As he said unto you. You see, the Lord couldn't deny Peter. Peter was unbelieving at this time, no doubt. But the Lord couldn't deny Peter. Why is that? I love that scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13, where it says, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. You see, Peter was united to the Lord Jesus Christ. He was one with him. He was one of his children. And for him to deny Peter would be for him to deny himself. And that's not going to happen. You want to know anything about me? You read the life of the Lord. That's me. I'm united to him. And that's why Peter is not going to be denied by our Lord. Turn back to John chapter 13. You see, the Lord had died for Peter's sins, and Peter is a justified, sanctified sinner. Who is he that can condemn? It's Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. You go tell Peter, I'm risen from the dead. Now let's go on reading. John chapter 13, verse 37, Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I'll lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto you, the cock shall not crow till you have denied me three times. Now let me remind you of a fact. These chapter divisions were placed there by men. They're not in the original. Here's the way this reads. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me three times. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe God? Whatever you believe of God, believe me. I am Him. Peter, you're going to deny me three times. That's troubling, isn't it? That's scary. Let not your heart be troubled. How can that be? How can I not be troubled? Because Peter, salvation does not come to you because you were courageous and confessed me before men at this time. And it's not withheld from you because you are cowardly. It has nothing to do with your works, good or bad, it is for Christ's sake. Altogether for Christ's sake. Altogether by grace. Ephesians 1:6 says, He hath made us accepted. He hath made us. He hath caused us to be accepted. Completely accepted. Without any reference to good works. Without any reference to bad works. This acceptance was made before the foundation of the world. He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Now I want to ask you a question. What Peter did was evil. There's no way of getting around that. But when he did this, was he any less accepted by God than when he was saying, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God? Was any less accepted? And you know the answer to that question. He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. The Lord could not deny Peter. It would be to deny himself. Turn over to John 21. This is after the resurrection of the Lord. He's already appeared to Peter. Verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He wasn't saying, do you love me more than the disciples, the other 11? I kind of wonder what they were thinking when the Lord asked him that question. How do you reckon he's going to answer? After what he's done, how do you reckon he's going to answer? But I think it's interesting what our Lord did not ask him. He didn't say, Simon, are you sorry? Simon, do you promise to never do this again? Simon, do you promise to make up for this with courageous acts in the future? He didn't say anything like that. He asked this one question. Simon, do you love me? Do you love my person? He saith in him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. These other fellows, I like the way Peter said this. He said, Lord, you know that I love you. Now I can see where these other fellows would greatly call it into question. I can understand that. But you know that I love your person. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time. Some think that he said it three times because he denied him three times. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. You know how weak I am. You know how inconsistent I am. You can look into the very depths of my heart and you know what's really there. But you know this. You know that I love and that I adore your person. I love you just as you are. I'm not talking about, you know, when you think of your love to Christ, remember this. Don't think about your love to Christ. Think of Christ. Think of who He is. Think of what He is like. Think of His glorious attributes. Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Feed my sheep. Remember when the Lord said, when thou art converted, when you're turned. This was a blessing of grace. a needful fall, but God turned him. God converted him. And it was a blessing. You know, everything the Lord sends my way, everything is exactly what I need. Let's pray.